Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Damaged Mate by Nikita Slater. Narrated by Jack Callahan and Stephanie Rose. The Human Shifter War, 700 years ago. Locke. I watch from the ridge above the battlefield as the human army retreats, having conceded victory to the shifters. It was our final battle before a truce was brokered between the humans and shifters, ending the wars. 32 years of war. I wasn't very old when it started, only 34, practically a pup in immortal shifter years. Through persistence and prowess, I rose through the ranks of my brethren to achieve the posting of general to the Wolf Shifter Army. We're only a few hundred strong, minuscule compared to what the humans had thrown at us, but our numbers were more than enough to put up a fierce resistance when the humans decided to purge their world of shifters. Unfortunately for the humans, we were unwilling to roll over and give up, thus kicking off a 3-decade-long war. There were losses on both sides, but the human losses were far greater. They outnumbered us 50-1, but they didn't have our strength or longevity. For every shifter taken out in battle, the humans lost dozens. As their losses piled up, their determination to win the war waned. Some would argue the war ended years ago, but the humans were unwilling to negotiate, instead throwing live bodies at us shifters as fodder for their twisted beliefs. Now, the day of reckoning had arrived. I feel my brother, Fallon, approach long before he arrives. Our familial telepathic bond is strong. I turn to watch the big black wolf loping toward me, shifting to human as he takes the last few steps that brings him to my side. "General," Fallon says, halting beside me to watch the retreating army, "I see you've received the news of our victory." "Hardly a victory," I reply grimly. "We lost too many lives to this pointless war." We remain silent for a moment, our thoughts turning to our greatest losses. Our parents. They were killed at the beginning of the war, when humans overran shifter populations, surprising them and killing them before the shifters could organize themselves. Once we realized what was happening, we retaliated, striking back hard and often. At the beginning of the war, I'd fought alongside my four brothers, seeking vengeance for the deaths of our parents. I'd achieved the rank of general through my bloody persistence in pushing the enemy back and making sure we paid back every loss on our side through the blood of the mortals. But as the bodies piled up and the war dragged on, I lost sight of my reason for fighting. I became another soldier in a war none of us understand. This end to the war is a relief. I'm through seeking vengeance. I'm weary and want nothing more than to retreat to the Wolf Shifter territory of Wolfhaven for some much-needed rest. Wolfhaven is the one place where only Wolf Shifters are welcome. It consists of a castle, which is surrounded by the gated city of Wolfhaven, which, in turn, is surrounded by the countryside and territory of Wolfhaven, which all rests on the continent of Lupina. "We're being summoned to the capital to celebrate," Fallon says, giving the reason for his presence on my battlefield. As the child of a well-known and powerful Alpha Shifter family, he'd taken on the role of diplomat, working to liaise with the humans to negotiate a ceasefire. "All 5 of us?" I ask, assuming he means all my brothers. While I became a military general and Fallon a diplomat, Keenan and Lennox remained behind, shoring up the defenses of our capital city. Our fifth brother, Rush, is a lone wolf. He's never played well with others, though he's closer to Fallon than the rest of us. In order to do his part in the war, Rush became a runner. He took on the dangerous job of passing messages between the shifter factions, sometimes infiltrating the humans when it was necessary to pass messages onto our spies entrenched in enemy territory. Yes, they want all of us. The Wolfhaven Council of Elders has a proposal for our family, Fallon confirms. We're to go to the capital immediately. We'll hear the proposal, then join in the victory celebration. I nod. Give me a half hour, and I'll join you for the trip home. Fallon waits for me as I search out my second-in-command, Django, and transfer the might of our military into his capable hands. Once this is accomplished, I make my way back to Fallon, who's speaking with a few of my soldiers and eating a bowl of venison stew. I strip, and together we shift, taking off at a run. In this form, we can cover ground much faster than we could as humans. We race toward Wolfhaven, which is situated in a mountainous region to the northeast of our continent. The battlefront I'd been overseeing is closer to the lowlands, but not so far from Wolfhaven that a pair of shifters in prime condition can't run. We cover the ground in 2 days, arriving in the city in time for a parade being thrown in our honor. I snigger while still in my wolf form as I catch sight of shifters in their human forms, screaming our names and wearing masks of our faces. It's an odd feeling seeing a misshapen version of my big black wolf face staring back at me as I pass through the crowd. Eventually, we're recognized, and the crowd presses in on us as people attempt to touch our fur and pass on their well wishes and accolades. We shift to human and accept the handshakes and backslaps until the castle guards come to escort us the rest of the way. I look up at the massive stone structure as we're taken inside, a fortified seat of power built on top of a mountain, imposing and difficult to penetrate when attacked. I'd spent my formative years in the city of Wolfhaven. Though my family hadn't lived in the castle, they were alphas to our pack, and my parents often entered through these massive gates to speak with the council on behalf of the city sprawled out in the valley below. It feels strange entering a building, especially one as important as the castle. I barely remember the rules of polite society, having spent the better part of 3 decades in the muck with my shifter army. You'll do fine, Fallon says, reading my anxiety. He slaps me on the back in encouragement as we enter through the portcullis and into the castle's courtyard. Shifters in both their wolf and human forms, in states of dress and nakedness, surround us. Fallon, a man in court finery approaches us, his hand out. Fallon shakes it, then the man turns to me. General? I nod and take his proffered hand, shaking it once before dropping it. Your brothers are inside. The three of us head toward the nearest door. Rush? Fallon asks. The man shakes his head. Rush was too far afield to pull in. A messenger was sent, but neither has returned. I hope Rush hasn't killed the messenger. It's entirely possible. His perpetual bad mood is legendary, and, from all accounts, hasn't improved with the war. Rush was born a loner, quite literally. Fallon and I are firstborn twins, only minutes apart. Rush was born in the middle. Keenan and Lennox, also twins, were born a few years after him. It's not unusual for wolf shifter females to have multiples when they birth. As we walk, we're greeted by our younger brothers. The four of us stop in the entryway to the great hall, embracing and catching up with each other. Except for Fallon, who occasionally travels to the battlefront, I haven't seen my brothers in a decade. They look bigger, stronger, more serious. I can read the stress of the war on their faces, but the jubilation of our greeting eases the years.
"Sirs, if you'll follow me,"
the castle steward says, bowing his head, "the Council of Elders will see you now." The four of us are led into the great hall and lined up before the council, a group of elder wolves, all hand-picked to represent the different wolf packs living within the territorial borders surrounding Wolfhaven. There used to be only a trio of council members, but as the war progressed, shifter packs from all over the world poured into the territory. Clashes between different packs became common, and the council was expanded to keep the peace between the packs. As I half expected, we're congratulated on our success in protecting our kind, the Wolf Shifter Brethren. We accept their praise, but I sense an underlying reason for our summons. After several long minutes of speech from the elders, we finally get to the reason. An elder steps forward.
"You four and your brother are, in large part, the reason this war is coming to its conclusion. You have proved yourselves both fierce."
His gaze meets mine, then shifts to Fallon.
"And fair. Fallon, your tireless diplomacy has led to the end of a war that has cost many lives. General Locke, you kept the humans from exterminating our kind and taking what is rightfully ours, sacrificing much in the process."
His gaze shifts to Keenan and Lennox.
"You two are responsible for the security of Wolfhaven. You've kept the enemy at bay and reassured our people that the strength of our defenses will never again fail them."
Another elder stands and approaches us, climbing carefully down from his throne, his frail body moving slowly. I recognize him as the representative of the Nomad Pack, a fierce pack with many warriors in my army. I nod respectfully as he stops in front of me. He's one of the oldest of our kind. Many in the human world believe since we're immortal, we cannot age, which is close to the truth, but we can age if we so choose. Life can get long, and some shifters choose the path of aging, especially if they've never found their fated mate.
"Through the peace brokering, we will be enacting a series of laws that all wolf shifters must abide,"
he explains, looking at each of us. I'd figured this would be the case, but wonder what it has to do with me and my brothers.
"To appease the fear that drove humans to attack us in the first place, we have agreed to several concessions. First, we must never shift in front of humans."
I let out a snort, but quickly swallowed when Fallon gives me a shut-the-fuck-up look.
"Second, we cannot mate with humans. Third, we register with the nearest human town council if we choose to live among or near them."
I'm not surprised by the new laws, but I am disappointed. They show a fundamental lack of understanding of our kind. I feel Keenan beside me, shaking his head in annoyance. A few years ago, he was told by a witch who'd had a vision that his future bride was human. As is usual with our kind, his plan was to wait for her birth, then watch over her until she grew old enough to claim. He didn't choose a human as his mate, but he'd come to accept that one day she'd be part of his future. As always, Fallon the diplomat speaks on Keenan's behalf. "We can't choose who our fated mates will be. If a mate is human, then the humans must accept our claim. It's the natural order, the highest law for our kind. We're driven by instinct, which is dictated by the natural order.
They refuse to accept any shifter claims on their kind, the elder says, though his gaze is compassionate. They've seen the brutality of a claiming, and have seen some of their people disappear to our traditions, and they now fear us. This was something they refused to compromise on. We are no longer allowed to mate with humans.
But, Keenan shakes his head in disbelief, we're supposed to just ignore the mating bond? Many of our brethren, me included, find our fated mates among the humans. It'll be agony if we're forced to know they exist and we can't claim them. It'll lead to the deaths of many good shifters.
Lennox places his hand on Keenan's shoulder and squeezes.
I understand,
the elder says, stopping in front of Keenan to speak in a low voice.
But these are the concessions we've had to make to stop this war and all the carnage that has come with it. Perhaps one day the humans will come around to understanding our way of life and our need for fated mates, no matter where we find them. Unfortunately, today is not that day.
The elder steps back from Keenan and looks at all of us.
As you four and your brother, Rush, have emerged heroes in this war, and you descend from a long line of alphas, we wish to put forth a proposal. We want you to continue your work as protectors of our kind.
He lifts his arm and waves it around the room.
This castle will be turned over to you, as well as the security of the city and countryside of Wolfhaven. All that we ask is that you continue to advocate for our kind as you have done for the past 32 years.
He looks at Fallon and says,
Fallon, we're asking you, with your brothers at your back, to lead the Wolfhaven Pack in our post-war time of need. Do you accept?
It seems to take Fallon several seconds to find his voice, but when he does, he says, I'm honored to accept this responsibility. Then he looks at the three of us expectantly. Lennox and Keenan nod their agreement. But I hold his gaze, silently communicating my reservations through our brotherly bond. Finally, I accept his plea to take on the role of leader with me at his back, the military at my command. I nod. He looks at the elder and says,
We all accept. I will also take on the responsibility of accepting for Rush.
I hide a snort of humor. No way is Rush going to want any part of this. He'll turn up eventually, find out about his new role, then run for his solitary stretch of the mountains. Rush is a lone wolf. Always has been, always will be. Within the next weeks, our roles are made official. And the castle, the city of Wolfhaven, and the surrounding territory of Wolfhaven are handed over into our care. A heavy responsibility, but a noble one. The council is dissolved, and the elder wolves return to their individual packs within the largest pack of our kind. We, the 5 alphas of Wolfhaven, will serve our people until the end of our immortality. Chapter 1. A Witch's Curse. 200 years ago. Locke.
General Locke!
I turn as I hear my name shouted across the distance of my training field. I hold my hand up, halting the combat practice. As my brother, Rush, approaches, I say to my man, Work on that knee. You'll need to crouch lower than that if you're going to launch an effective attack at a larger target. I demonstrate by crouching low to the ground, my fingers splayed in the dirt. The moment I feel Rush closing in, I twist and fling myself at him, hitting him in the chest and sending him flying through the air. He lands on his back, and I land on top of him. Shifting to my wolf, I set my teeth against his throat. "Fucking get off me," he snarls, punching me in the side of the head, then shoving me away. If the fight had been real, I would have ripped out his throat before he landed the first hit. I shift to human and jump to my feet, accepting the leather trousers my man holds out to me. I put them on, along with my boots. An overcoat is thrown over my shoulders. Rush climbs to his feet and shoves me away when I try to brush the straw from his back. "Touch me again, and I really will kill you." "Try it," I tell him with a wolfish grin. I'm taller and broader than all of my brothers, which has given me the advantage whenever we play fight. I make a formidable foe, and not one of my brothers can take me down. It's how I rose to the rank of general during the Human Shifter War, and it's why I've overseen the Wolfhaven military for the past 500 years. "Why did you come out here if not to fight?" I ask him, following as he turns on his heel and strides back toward the castle entrance. "There's a security situation in the Great Hall." I shake my head. "Let me guess. Her witchiness is throwing another tantrum?" Rush looks at me grimly. "That woman wants nothing to do with Fallon." "She's his fated mate," I say, as if that explains everything. And to our kind, it does. There's no older and more important tradition than that of the fated mate bond to our kind. Fallon found his a few months ago. Unfortunately for all of us, the king's mate turned out to be a witch. Not just any witch, but one of the most powerful of her kind. It's an unusual pairing. Wolf shifters usually find their mates among other shifters and occasionally humans, but most of the human shifter pairings have been forbidden for almost 500 years. Much to Keenan's dismay, his fated mate, a full human, was born a few years ago. He's watched over her as she has grown from child to woman, knowing she can never be his. He's gone from my fun-loving, carefree brother to a man of whom nothing and no one can please. "She's threatening to turn Fallon into a toad," Rush says of Fallon's witch-mate. "I fucking hate witches." I chuckle and shake my head. Perhaps it'll do him some good if she does. His ego has been getting away from him for years. Though our brother was widely considered the best man to take control of Wolfhaven after the war ended, centuries of ruling has changed him. He's less tolerant of those who disagree with his policies, and has driven some of our kind from our lands. Rush, Keenan, Lennox, and I have tried to rein him in, but he's stubborn, even threatening to remove us from our positions. I've become weary of his arrogance, but short of turning the military against him, a drastic action that I refuse to take, there's little I can do. Don't forget, the witches helped to turn the tide of the war. Without their support, we would have lost a lot more of our brothers and sisters to the humans, I remind Rush. "Doesn't mean we have to mate with them," he grumbles belligerently. "That's exactly what it means if a fated mate happens to be a witch. I'd rather die than fuck a witch." I grunt my disapproval at his bigotry. "It's a good thing you aren't the one trying to marry a witch, then." "Fucking witches," Rush grumbles, striding through a door held open by a servant. I follow him inside and immediately hear the commotion. As we enter the great hall, I spot the witch right away. She's standing on top of Fallon's throne chair, her hands held out, her fingers curved as she chants. I feel the pull of her bond with my brother like a gentle tugging just beneath the surface of my skin. There's a desire to protect and care for the fragile woman, as she's now part of my family, despite her extreme dislike of anything and everything wolf, particularly Fallon. Her dark hair flows like liquid night over her silky green cloak, her red gown peeking through the gaps. Her eyes, which are fixated on my brother, are ablaze with a combination of deep fear and anger. "Get your ass down here, Lyra," Fallon shouts, pacing beneath his own throne, anger coming off him in waves.
"Only if you release me," she shouts back.
"That will never happen." I shake my head. It's been like this from the moment Fallon discovered his mate. He had her brought to the castle against her will, and now woos her with commands and arrogance. It's any wonder he's angered the witch.
"I thought you'd say that," she says, lifting her hands higher.
As I near their position, I can feel the crackling energy of magic rippling through the air. We stop next to Lennox and Keenan, who are standing at Fallon's back. Lennox looks at me. She's created some kind of force field around herself. We can't get near her. "What did he do?" I ask grimly, looking up at the pissed-off witch.
"He tried to forcibly mate her?"
When Fallon glances back at us, I see four long, bloody marks down his face. Lennox continues.
"The witch fought back, probably surprising him into releasing her, which was when she bolted toward the Great Hall."
"You'll never touch me again,"
the witch screams from her perch. She waves her hands, and a blue flame erupts over her head. As she holds her arms up, I can see a jagged tear along the sleeve of her gown, and a sense of impatience goes through me. My brother has gone about wooing his bride in the worst possible way, attempting to force her hand and bullying her every time she resists. Even worse, he underestimates her, seeing her only as the small and soft woman she appears on the outside. Most wolves know better than to upset a witch, but my brother's arrogance has blinded him to her true abilities. Naturally wary of magic, every wolf in the room tenses, while Fallon takes a step closer to her.
"You're my true mate, Lyra," he says in a commanding voice. "We're fated to be together. You must feel it like I do."
He thumps his fist against his chest. "Come down from there and take your place at my side, where you belong."
"You mean under your boot,"
she hisses back.
"What I feel is your desire to dominate me, King Fallon, and I'll allow no man to treat me as you have treated me."
Rather than dig deep for the diplomacy that Fallon was once known for, the diplomacy that landed him the position of King of Wolfhaven, he unleashes, shouting at his mate.
"You are my wife, and you will obey me. I will punish you for this defiance."
She lets out a cackling laugh, then concentrates on her spell, spinning and weaving the blue fire over her head until it takes on a shape of a thorny wreath. I watch in both fear and fascination, having never seen anything like it before. Fallon turns to me.
"Do something, brother. You're my general. Arrest her and force her to comply."
"I'm not your personal general, but leader to the Wolfhaven military, which belongs to the people," I remind him coldly. He's tried before to pervert our connection, attempting to use the military to his purposes. I've resisted, which has caused tension between the two of us. "You need to speak with her. Give her the chance to choose you as her mate."
"She doesn't have a choice,"
he snarls, glaring up at the witch.
"If you won't help, then I'll do it myself."
I reach for him, but he shakes me off and leaps toward Lyra, shifting into his wolf as he launches himself at her. He hits the force field and rebounds, landing on the stone steps beneath his throne. Tension thrums through each of my brothers.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?